Okay, Sam, we ready? Okay, I'll bring the city council meeting of February the 13th to order. Call for a moment of silence, please. We stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sam, roll call, please.
Paul Greeno.
Here.
Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Dennis Olson.
Here.
Steve Lorenzen.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
And Harry Robinson.
Here.
And then Mary Lou requested to be excused tonight.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried 6-0. First, I guess before I start, I would like to recognize the passing of Murray Goff. He was an icon in the city and I think made a major contribution to Blaine over his lifetime. And so we would like to pass our condolences on to his family. Okay. Next item on our agenda is the awards and recognition. And we have a Blaine Builder Award for the Blaine Chamber, the Blaine Community Chamber of Commerce. Good. Maybe we're going to have anyone come up and talk or be up here and get a picture taken with us. Can we get everybody up, please? We've got a mic, so we why don't we come all over here? Everybody can see. Okay. The Blaine Community Chamber of Commerce was incorporated in January 1891 and has continued to serve the community of Blaine for over 125 years. When the chamber was formed, Blaine was bustling with a population of 2,100 within the city and surrounding areas. The city had grown from 600 people from the previous year. There were 5 wharves, 5 churches, and 10 miles of gridded road with 8-inch sidewalks. Blaine, for the first time, was connected by a transportation railroad to the north and to the south. Blaine was also known in 1891 as the International City and celebrated both Canadian and U.S. holidays, making the city which celebrated the most holidays than in any city along the Pacific coast. Should probably be doing that today. Blaine still celebrates big as the Blaine Chamber sponsors and partners in many events and festivals during the year, such as the old-fashioned 4th of July, which brings thousands of visitors to Blaine. Sponsored events is one of the ways the Chamber promotes our community as a safe and peaceful place to visit, live, and do business. The Blaine Community Chamber, a nonprofit organization, currently has a membership of around 100 area business professionals and individuals working together to promote and advance a healthy business environment while maintaining a high quality of life for the City of Blaine. The City of Blaine recognizes the Blaine Community Chamber's 125 years of contributions to the community of Blaine, building a better Blaine in the past, present, and for the future. I'm going to present this. I have to get a picture done.
Yeah.
And the 2017 Chamber Board of Directors are Bob Boulay, Ray Maxson, Vice President, Kimberly Shea, Treasurer, Carol Solomon, Secretary, Laura Hedges, Director, Lois Mogar, Director, and Christina Simone, Director, and Michael Ebert, Director. Congratulations. Thank you very much. Thank you. You got an official present? Thank you very much. The next item on our agenda is audience participation. We have a public hearing today on the Wharf District Amendment. Now, and we'll hold off making your presentation until we get to that on the agenda. But in the meantime, is there anyone that would like to address the council on any other issue other than the Wharf? Okay. Hearing none. We'll go to written communications. Sam, do we have any?
Yeah, we got emails dated January 23rd, 2017 from Ron Spring and staff regarding Amber Alerts.
Thank you. Next is the fire chief's report. Chief, if you would be kind enough, come forward.
Evening, council. Tonight I'm sharing with you our monthly newsletter. And I just like to point out that at our last board meeting, we had our annual awards, and we had a firefighter of the year, a volunteer of the year, and then our employee of the year, most of you know, I think, because she's from Blaine, is Jenny Sands, won the employee of the year, so I thought I'd point that out. She's one of those people that the department can't run without that person. That's Jenny. So besides that, the rest I'll let you read at your leisure and answer any questions you might have. Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Okay, the next item on our agenda is the consent agenda. And we have approval of bills in the amount of $182,548.21. Approval of payroll in the amount of $529,466.14. Approval of the council minutes for January the 23rd, 2017. And approval of the special council minutes for February the 6th, 2017. I'd be willing to entertain a motion.
So move.
Second.
Motion has been made to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Hearing none, the motion is carried 6-0. The next item on our agenda is a public hearing on the comprehensive plan amendment revising the Wharf District Master Plan. And I understand there was written communication, Sam, and you've identified those in the agenda here.
Yeah, we have.
But there are some other items that I believe have come following that. Is that correct?
Other written communication?
Yeah.
If so, I believe they're in front of you.
Okay. You passed those on to us. Okay. Okay, so now we're going to have a public hearing on the comprehensive plan amendment revising the Wharf District Master Plan. Alex, are you going to provide?
Mayor Robinson?
Yes,
I believe
sir.
We do have to read the written communication into the record, the actual, from the letter dated, date, and so forth.
We have to read these into the record?
Oh, yeah, I'll do it from here. Yeah.
Okay.
So okay. The letter dated February 6, 2017, from David Carr and Andrea Stampley regarding ordinance number 17-2895. An email dated February 7th. 2017 from Kathleen and Zdenek Capson regarding ordinance number 17-2895. A letter dated February 7th, 2017 from Rex Broward regarding ordinance number 17-2895. And an email dated February 12th, 2017 from Jim Kyle regarding ordinance number 17-2895.
Did we include the one from Mike Hill there?
Alex will mention
the additional items. Okay, thank you. Alex, you're going to make a presentation.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, Council. In fact, maybe I'll just enter into the record
now two additional letters that I've received here. One from Mr. Billy Brown, Board President of the Birch Bay Chamber of Commerce, in support of the proposal this evening, basically discussing economic benefits, and another letter from Mike Hill, who is also in support of the application. And I believe you each have a copy of those. Do you have a copy? So with that, let's review the proposal. So this is a comprehensive plan amendment that was previously adopted by the City Council. So this is not a development application to actually build anything. This is an amendment to change the Wharf District Master Plan that was jointly approved by the City of Blaine and the Port of Bellingham. There is two main aspects of the proposal. One is to increase some height limits, and the Planning Commission submitted a modification to that amendment to lower some height limits, and we'll talk about that in more detail in a minute. The other one is to add marine-related uses, and again, the Planning Commission slightly modified that to non-industrial marine-related uses, so we'll go into a little bit more detail in a couple minutes about that. The applicant is the Port of Bellingham. There's been a lot of talk about what Sundance Yachts wants to do, but please keep in mind they're only leasing the property from the Port of Bellingham. The port is the applicant, and again, they're not proposing to build anything with this application. So it's a legislative action, and I believe we've covered the new public comments. So looking at the Wharf District Master Plan, this is a similar presentation to what I showed you before, but this is the area that we're talking about, Planning Area 3 or Mariner Village. So our Wharf District Master Plan lays out descriptions and character and vision for that area and lays out these height limits, which I think are important to this discussion. There's areas that already allow 55-foot tall buildings down there, and then 45, 35, and 25. So the applicant's proposal was to increase the height limits in this area, going to 45 feet and 55 feet in those two locations. Those are each an increase of 10 feet, and then basically open up the entire Mariner Village planning area to marine-related uses. So our Planning Commission looked at that. They reviewed it. They had a couple meetings on that, a public hearing, and they decided that it did meet the criteria to amend the comprehensive plan, but they also recommended to modify the application. I want to take a minute to talk about that. So they only want to allow marine-related uses on the east side of Mulholland Drive, and they wanted to adjust the height limits, having the tallest buildings next to the railroad tracks. Basically, some of the idea there was to screen those taller buildings a little bit with the existing trees that are in Burlington Northern right away, and to try to open up some height limits on Mulholland Drive. So what does that mean if we go back to this map here? So this is the area that they want to allow marine-related uses. That's basically the property that Sundance Yachts currently leases from the port. And the Planning Commission proposes that this area be allowed for 55-foot tall buildings here, and that we actually reduce some height limits to 25 in that location, and then again across the street of Mulholland Drive to right there on the screen, so the south side, the east side, or west side of Mulholland Drive to 25 feet. And a lot of that discussion really was based off of trying to open up views and preserve views from the two street ends up on G and H Street, the plazas. We did a lot of work looking at out from those plazas, taking pictures and doing some analysis and looking at those sight lines. So that was kind of the basis behind the Planning Commission's recommendation. If it were proposed, this would be the new height allowance map. You can see the areas of 25 feet, 55 feet there. So the height and view shed, we did, as I mentioned, look at a lot of different heights. This is a height analysis from the port where rented a bucket truck and went down to the property and raised it up to the different height limits, and we took pictures from the plazas, and so we were able to identify how tall those buildings would be. We looked at different areas. You can see that little yellow circle there is actually the bucket truck kind of blocked behind some of the graphics, but it's there. So we looked at different height limits from different areas and just different impacts from different viewpoints, kind of moving up and down Peace Portal Drive. So the kind of takeaway from our height and view analysis is there is some loss of view. You know, when you go out there, you look directly at the project, there will be some view impacted. And that every sight line is a little different. There are some areas on Peace Portal Drive where you can't even see the site, and so there's basically no impact to the view. And when you consider the view overall, when you go out to 8th Street Plaza, is a sweeping view. I'm sure you're all very familiar with it. And then when you turn and look to your right, it is a rather smaller impact to the view. So we felt like the view was de minimis or somewhat smaller impact. So the other aspect of the proposal is permitted uses. And our planning commission spent a lot of time talking about permitted uses. This picture is a typical marine related use where we have boats being parked and stored and maintained out there. This is another marine-related use, dry dock storage right here, so this would also be proposed. Some of the reasoning was some marine-related uses are less permanent and others are more permanent, like this one here. So the permitted use analysis, that marine-related uses actually are supported by the zoning language in the wharf zoning district. And it's also important to keep in mind that if anybody wants to build anything down there, they have to come back with a shoreline permit for that specific proposal. For example, if someone wanted to build dry dock storage, they would come back with a shoreline permit for dry dock storage, and our planning commission would review that. And that, we, of course, we still have development standards. There is design guidelines and development standards in the zoning district and the wharf district master plan. As I mentioned, some marine-related uses are less permanent, and I think it's also important that this change to the Wharf District Master Plan doesn't abandon the Mariner Village concept. So if there's a developer out there that still wanted to build a mixed-use urban village down there and they came forward, they could still do that under this proposal. So staff does concur with the Planning Commission's recommendation of approval. We did have some concerns, though, about lowering the height limit on the west side of Mulholland Drive from 55 feet to 25 feet, and that may not support mixed use or like a hotel development, which the Wharf District Master Plan talks about maybe having a boutique hotel down there or a convention center. So we had a little bit of concern with that. And that this, the use still doesn't allow for future web lockers of the port in that area. That was a bit of a point of discussion during the Planning Commission's review. So maybe we can hear from the port, and there's a number of options for council. I can just run through these real quick. So council can approve the Planning Commission's recommendation as they've modified it. They can approve the applicant's original recommendation, or a proposal, I should say. The council can make their own changes. You can, as a legislative action, you can change this right now and approve it. And so you have that ability to do that. You can direct staff to further evaluate different aspects of this and report back to you at a later date, and then you can continue the public hearing to a date certain, and of course you can deny the application. So that's essentially the options. So with that, I would like to turn it over to the applicant maybe to address the proposal.
Before that, is there any questions for Alex? Alex, I do have a question, and that, please speak into your microphone.
Okay, thank you, David. When we talk about changes, this does not lock in future changes, because the port can always come back and ask us to revise the heights or to revise the uses. So we aren't locking this in, is that correct?
That's correct. So we could process a new comprehensive plan amendment, and we typically do that once a year.
So if someone wanted to develop a village, as we call it, they could come back and request us to look at making changes again.
Certainly.
Increasing or decreasing the height again.
Yes, well, urban village would be allowed down there today, but yeah. If they wanted to increase the height again or change it, they could certainly do that. Come back.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to clarify that for everybody.
Okay. We could ask the port, Sylvia, if you would be kind enough to come forward and maybe give us your version of the amendment.
Good afternoon. I guess it's good evening. I'm Sylvia Goodwin, Port of Bellingham. I live here in Blaine, 719 C Street. I've been here for about 26 years, and I've been kind of actively following your economic development issues and planning issues. I've been at the port for about 11 years now. And I worked with Terry Galvin on the original update to the Wharf District Plan in 2007. At that time, we were maybe a little too optimistic on the future of the economy. We thought there would be a market for mixed-use development, residential, commercial, maybe a hotel down at the waterfront, and we all thought that would benefit the port and benefit the community. The 2008 recession came along shortly after that, and I think the situation has changed quite a lot here in Blaine. We don't have as much development in the downtown as we all might like to see. We just heard from Michael about vacant buildings and concerns. And I believe at this time to have mixed-use commercial and development down at the waterfront might actually detract from downtown. At the time that we did the plan in 07, we thought that there was enough land for marine industrial uses down at the end of the pier by the Sawtooth Dock and the Web Lockers. That area has actually been growing. We have fish processing and boat building or boat repair work going on, and they are a little tight on space now. So where we thought there might be space to tear down the two Web Lockers we have up in the Area 3 and find room for consolidating them into one or two lockers down at the marine area, we're now finding the opposite. We're getting a lot of pressure. Could we tear down that Web Locker number one that's down by the Sawtooth and make a little more space for the fish processing and the fishermen and boat builders to move around? It's a little tight to try to pull a large vessel up that marine rail with that Web Locker right there in the way. So we've actually been looking now at should we build a third Web Locker by the other two rather than the reverse. So times change. I think that we all had good intentions, and now we have to adjust to the new economy. The Planning Commission, I think, did a really good job. I'd like to thank them for their recommendation. They took their job very seriously and listened to the public, and staff made some good recommendations. Planning Commission did recommend the west, I get east and west mixed up, mixed use on the east side of Mulholland, which is where Sundance has leased the facility. Sundance has an 80-year lease with the Port of Bellingham for that property, and they would like to build a dry stack storage. As Alex said, we're not having a hearing about the dry stack storage, but it's hard to talk about the plan amendment without talking about what somebody's proposing. The Planning Commission recommended the height changes, and with the modification, they took a little notch out of it where they kept it at 25, and the port at this point and Sundance are both okay with that. We can live with that configuration. The west side of Mulholland, though, is a little bit more of a problem. The Planning Commission recommended the marine-related uses be allowed, and they said non-industrial marine-related, and we're okay with that also. I think their intent was we don't want fish processing or anything that's going to be smelly up there. It's okay with the boat storage, but they didn't particularly want fish processing there, and I don't think either do we. That's a little closer to downtown. But on the west side of Mulholland, it would be very nice to be able to have boat storage, another Web Locker, or other marine-related uses similar to what's there. This use, by shortening the height to 25 feet and then not allowing marine-related uses, would make it very difficult to build anything there. I don't think you're going to see a hotel or a condo or anything that is 25 feet high. It just wouldn't be economical. So I would ask that the City Council take a closer look at that west side and think about allowing marine-related non-industrial uses on the west side of Mulholland also, and perhaps increasing the height to 35 or 45. A Web Locker would fit in 25. Our existing ones are 24 plus change, so the Web Locker would fit there. But if you want anything else there, you might want to go up to 45 or 35. It's 55 now. And I think that I ran it by the Port Commission, and they are okay with a decrease in height. They would prefer it not be quite that short.
Sylvia, could
we get somebody to put that graphic up
for the
I think
you do that?
The rest of the people like to see it.
I'm sorry. I actually have one in my pocket, too, but this is easier. Okay, yeah, that's the area. So west of Mulholland, left of the screen, is the area where the Planning Commission recommended a decrease in height, and that is also where they recommended that it would be restricted from only commercial and residential uses, not marine-related uses.
Have you got the slide then that the court is proposing?
Do you have, could you...
55.
So you just to be clear on this, on the west side you would like marine uses and
right.
35 and 45.
Right. We would like the marine related uses is very important to the port. The height could be 25, 35, or 45. I think 35 or 45 would be more realistic. If you want to encourage those other uses, if it's a web locker, it'll be 25 anyway. It doesn't make sense to make a web locker any taller than that. So, but we would like to be able to, on both sides of Mulholland, be able to have outdoor boat storage and uses such as web lockers, because there's a demand for that. And at this point, I don't think there is a demand for a hotel or a residential in that area at this time. One further thing just to respond to Harry's comment is, yes, the port could apply for another comprehensive plan amendment in 5 years or so if the market changes and we wanted to build something taller. That wouldn't be a huge problem, but it does take about a year. By the time you apply for a plan amendment, docket it, have a public hearing, your city is more responsive than most cities that we work with as far as being very prompt at processing these. But still, it creates enough of a delay that if you had a developer that really wanted to do something, by the time you changed the plan, they might lose interest. So if you think you want it taller, then I would recommend doing that now rather than having somebody come back future for another change. The last thing I wanted to say is it has been a lot of public comment and concern. I had a long talk with Kathleen Capson earlier, concerned about the boat launch. This project, for one, isn't a proposal for a dry stack, although Sundance has made it clear that's what they're interested in doing, and there is a representative from Sundance here that can address that. We've talked to Sundance. If they were to build a dry stack storage with 300 vessels, they would build another launch facility. They're not intending to launch 300 vessels. I mean, if you had a 300 vessel launch, you're not going to be launching very many each day, but even 5 or 10 vessels a day during crab season, it can get a little crowded down there. They would build their own launch, and that will be addressed during the shoreline permit for the project. So unless there's any other questions, we have a lot of other publics wishing to speak, and I'll be here to answer questions if you have them later.
Parking to me is, I've been around the waterfront forever. When crab season comes around, it's almost impossible to find a place to park anywhere. And so where's parking going to be in these, if you do this? I mean, because the parking that's down there during the sport crabbing and the Indian crab fishermen are out there, that parking lot's full of boats and trailers. And so where is the parking going to be for all these other boats, or if they're going to put dry stack in, where are these people going to park?
Well, if there's a 300-boat dry stack there, Sundance will provide parking on-site within their leasehold for those parking. We specifically have an agreement with Sundance that says they won't be using the public boat launch parking. But if it turns out that they are wildly successful, and we hope they are, and there's so many people in boats down there that we don't have room to park all the cars, there's a great big field there that could be developed for a parking lot. That would be a good problem to have.
Yeah. Okay. Any further questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now we're going to open this up to the public hearing.
And anyone in the audience that is welcome to speak to this issue, anyone speaking on the issue will be allowed 5 minutes.
Mr. Mayor, yes. You need to use the microphone.
Okay, sir. This is not working very well. Anyway, let me repeat. Person speaking on this issue will be allowed 5 minutes. Additional non-repetitive testimony will be allowed after all testimonies have been heard. Now, a number of people have signed up, and I'll call them out. We have Dave Carr. Dave, would you like to come forward and please state your name and address for the record?
I'm David Carr. I live at 974 Harrison Avenue, just down the street. I have a brief statement. I did send in an email. Some of my concerns Sylvia has already addressed, but I'm speaking to address the issue of modifying the zoning for the Wharf District to accommodate Sundance Yacht's proposed facility. I have several points to present in regard to the action proposed. The first would be this action will constitute spot zoning for one specific business, which is not the intent of the Wharf District Master Plan. Second, the proposed facility business plan specifically states it will need the use of the public launch to facilitate their operation. Realizing that the now-defunct Blaine Marine Services use the launch occasionally, Sundance states that in order for their plan to pencil out, they need to do many launches per hour. As a boater who uses the launch, I can tell you that it is unobtainable when the average launch get underway requires approximately 20 minutes to achieve, and if nothing is going wrong, and lots of things go wrong at the boat launch. Apparently, the port has already agreed that the use of the launch is okay if Sundance customers wait in line with the rest of the public. From July to October, the launch is very busy with crabbing season. It is not uncommon to wait 30 minutes to get underway. This makes the goal of multiple launches unlikely. I am not at all opposed to the development. However, the issue of the launch has not been thought out very well. If Sundance can spend $9 million on a project, they should be required to develop their own launch facility and not jeopardize the public's efficient use of the existing facility. The fifth point is if the port recognizes the value of this venture, it should work to ensure that Sundance supplies their own water access. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Carr. We had Bob Franco or Lois Franco. I don't think they're in the audience. Okay, so we'll go to Kathleen Capson. Kathleen, if you would be kind enough to come forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Kathleen Capson, and I'm speaking this evening for myself and my husband, Stenick, who is at work this evening. We are Blaine residents since 1990 and live at 1015 Harrison Avenue. We sent a 9-page written testimony to each of you on February 7th. New information at this time concerns public safety and logistics. Point one, public safety and ramp congestion. For page 50 of the Wharf District Master Plan, Blaine's public boat launch, quote, is a popular facility for local sport fishermen and boaters. The launch provides parking for 62 boat trailers. The facility was constructed with IAC funding support, end quote. We launch our Catalina 22 using Blaine's public boat launch and have found that the public boat trailer area is extremely narrow. Great care has to be taken not to damage other boats and vehicles. When making a slow, tight turn around the narrow parking lot, we once clipped the taillight off of a trailer. The owner was out boating and so not available. We suspended our launch for a day, drove into an auto supply store to purchase a new taillight, installed it on the person's trailer, left a note explaining what happened, and provided our name and contact information. We have found Blaine's public launch ramp to be often crowded from mid-July through October, especially since it accommodates, at most, two boats launching simultaneously or two boats retrieving simultaneously. This is because it is a handheld launch ramp and it is possible to park only one vehicle at a time on either side of the ramp. In addition, launching can be especially challenging at times of low tide. It takes at least 30 minutes for us to launch. Retrieving can be longer, as care must be taken to position the boat correctly on the trailer. More time is then required to hose off the boat to protect from the invasive species, milfowl. There is only one housing station with one hose. Once underway, the channel between the breakwater and the marina is very narrow. Care and caution must be taken to avoid other boats. The same is true concerning Blaine's Harbor entrance, the breakwater opening. We are therefore concerned about the following, as quoted PC Rec Attachment F written public comments. Sundance Yachts proposes to use a forklift which can retrieve the boats from the rack and deposit them in the water. They need to be able to launch and retrieve many vessels per hour or the project will not work. Two, as quoted in the November 17th to 23, 2016 Northern Light, Sundance partner Buck Mihas said the company would plan to use the public boat launch. Three, finally, for a for-profit corporation using a public boat launch is inappropriate. Point two, and final, logistics and parking. If Sundance builds a dry stack facility on the east side of Mill Holland Drive, next to the marsh, wetlands, and railroad tracks, it means that all traffic coming and going to the facility would have to cross Mill Holland Drive. Sundance proposes to launch the person's boat into the water and dock it in a vacant slip at the harbor. Please envision that it would not be convenient for Sundance customers to load dock carts at Sundance's parking facility and then push the carts behind the web lockers and over to gate one, assuming that there is a space for their boat inside gate one. The alternative would be for Sundance customers to push dock carts along Marine Drive, then travel along the waterfront promenade down to gate two. We all know that it takes a lot of gear to have in a boat. Sundance customers may want to park near gate two or three to unload their gear into a dock cart, but the 2007 Wharf District Master Plan says, quote, since the installation of gate one near the Dockside Place Mall, a conflict over parking has arisen between the boaters and mall users. Gate one provides access to the largest number of slips in the harbor, and the Dockside Mall is the largest commercial center at the harbor. While a surplus of parking stalls at gate two and gate three helps alleviate some of the deficiency in parking at gate one, the current overall parking facility, parking supply in 2007, is still insufficient per code to serve the existing marina and upland users' needs by 43 stalls. A secondary access point to gate one afloat from the south end near the boat launch would greatly alleviate the situation. End quote. Adding a prospective commercial business to Blaine is very encouraging. We are hopeful that Mariner Village 3 will flourish if proper steps are taken to secure the permits necessary to construct a commercial launch in addition to the Blaine public boat launch, as well as to put in place a plan which provides convenient, safe, and customer-friendly environment for Sundance's customers to use its commercial dry stack storage facility. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kathleen. Is it Rick? Rick Buck? Rick, if you'd be kind enough to state your name and address for the record.
I'm Rick Buck, and my address is 570 Northeast Tomahawk Drive, Portland, Oregon. And there's been some good points tonight. And I'd like to assure everybody that I agree that to have this dry stack, we would need our own launching system, such as a pier or another ramp near the ramp that's there. There's excuse me, I'm losing my thought here, but in some of the good things that were said, how we do it at the Portland location is we put the boats on racks outside and people can load their belongings in the boat and then we launch the boat in the water. We would use forklifts, so the 20 minutes like a trailer would take where you're backing it, and it wouldn't be anything like that. The parking would be, this has already been said by Sylvia, but everything would be figured so everything would be contained on the site that we're leasing. And I would like to say that the Portland facility that was built in 1990, since it was built, it's about the size. Two hotels have moved into the area, lots of restaurants and retail, many condominiums and high-end apartments all around it. So it, this facility would be a much better looking. The Portland one is a basic sheet metal building, but this would be a combination of wood and metal in a very attractive building. So I think it would suit the area. I think it'd be good for the community. I'd like to point out that about half of the, and I don't really know your big marina, I think it's about 600 slips, about half the boats are Canadian boats, and we're really thinking that a lot of the boats in the stack would be people from across the border coming in to do business in the town. So we're excited what we think would do for the town, for us, and our employees. Thank you. And customers.
Thank you, Mr. Park. Okay, let's see if I got this one right. Is it Nick? Buck? And I'm sorry, I have trouble reading the last name, so perhaps maybe you can give it to us.
Yes, it's Nick Buck Niehaus.
Niehaus.
I'm
okay.
Rick's son and partner in the business. I live in La Center, Washington, at 34 Northwest 21st Avenue. He, I think, touched on all the points that I was going to add, which were the speed at which we can launch the boats with the forklift, which would alleviate congestion if it were not for the fact that the business model basically requires that we would have our own launch capability, whether it's a ramp or a vertical launch for a forklift. But there were some excellent points raised from some of the people who spoke and submitted letters, and we understand those concerns and just want to assure everyone that we would have our own launching capabilities that would not cause any congestion at the public ramp. And in fact, would probably alleviate congestion at the public ramp, because boaters who would possibly be using the public ramp launching boats from their trailers, many of them may choose to store their boats in our facility, which we would then launch using our own ramp, which would alleviate congestion at the public ramp. And again, we'll have parking on site on our leased property for all of our customers. And I think that's all I have to say. If anyone has any questions, of course, we're here to answer anyone's questions, and we look forward to it.
Eric, yes.
I don't know whether this is appropriate at this point, but in the report, there was concern about the Milholland Drive itself not being up to grade. Now, whose responsibility is that? Is that the port's, or is that the, how does that fit into the scheme?
That is a question that I frankly don't know the answer to. Is the concern the structural integrity of the road? Is that
I don't know. It was mentioned as it was not up to grade or up to.
Sylvia may have an answer for that.
Sylvia Goodwin in the port. The Wharf District plan does say that prior to development of the Wharf District that Milholland Drive would be upgraded, and we have not worked out the details of exactly how would that be, but it will have to be improved. It talked about, the plan talks about needing sidewalks and lighting and even landscaping. So those are details that we will need to work out as a port with our tenant and figure out how we're going to get that paid. But that road would need to be upgraded.
I guess my question is, the city is not on the hook for that one.
I do not believe so. We might try to twist your arm into
helping. Yeah, I know.
Maybe I can add a little bit more to that, Mr. Ellison. Mulholland Drive is not a public right-of-way. It's not a city street. It's a lane on the port's property, and it divides some of their lease areas. So while Sylvia may be very correct in saying they may try to negotiate some participation from the city, it's a requirement of development that there be adequate access, and it's not a city street, so it would probably fall primarily on the port.
Just one. Mr. Buckney-Heiss? Oh, well, you're welcome to. Okay. Welcome to. Mr. Buckney-Heiss, I have a neighbor lives down in Salem, Oregon, and was telling me today about a boat she had up in Portland, a sailboat. And she was talking about a fire that occurred up there, I believe, with Sundance. Is that correct?
That's correct. We did have a fire last February. That's correct.
How big a fire was it?
What's that?
How big a fire was it?
Oh, it was a very big fire. It's a very big fire.
And she said it was quite a large fire.
Yeah. Our dry storage facility in Portland was basically burned down. And we're in the process of rebuilding it. We've submitted a permit to the city of Portland. We're working with our insurance company, and we're looking forward to having it rebuilt. We expect to have it back up this year. And, in fact, we're going to have that complete before we proceed much further with our project in Blaine. I would point out that that building was built in 1990, and it was built to all of the fire codes and regulations at the time. There are quite a few dry stacks like this in the country. I believe there's well over 100 of them, a lot of them in the Florida area. And to have a fire like that is extremely rare. But as with any building and any kind of business and any kind of warehouse, there are rare occasions where there's a fire. And we, of course, will meet or exceed all fire codes and regulations so that kind of thing doesn't happen again. I can assure you no one wants to avoid that more than we do.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is it Mr. Kyle? Jim Kyle? Jim, if you'd state your name and address for the record, please.
Good evening. Jim Kyle. 4102 Linnell Road, Deming. I'm actually Blaine High School, class of 63, long-term county resident and commercial fisherman. But I'm here today representing the Working Waterfront Coalition of Whatcom County. We have 113 county-based marine businesses as members, varying in size from one-man marine trade shops to Bellingham Cold Storage and Fairhaven Shipyard. We urge you to choose option number 2, which would approve the application as proposed by the Port of Bellingham. Port of Bellingham is a strong advocate for the county's maritime economic sector, which is of critical importance to the working people of Whatcom County. The two zoning changes proposed will permit two buildings that will be important components of an expanding maritime presence in Blaine. And both buildings, and this is important, both buildings are water-dependent uses. They're close to the water. And this is what was anticipated when the Shoreline Management Act of 1971 was written. It's just that simple. These uses require access to the water, and it's appropriate under the Shoreline Management Act that they are located near the water. About the first building, along with the Port of Bellingham, we support the Planning Commission's recommendation to permit Sundance Yachts to build a dry stack boat storage building. And I recognize we're not discussing the permit of the building today. We're discussing a zoning change that would make that possible. But here we have a company willing to invest $9 million in a facility that will attract more boats, marine trades jobs, and visitors to Blaine. We also support the Port of Bellingham's recommendation to permit or make possible the building of a third Weblocker building, as discussed by Sylvia, serving the commercial fishing fleet adjacent to the other two on Milholland Drive. These Weblockers are full of commercial fishing gear, and there is a waiting list. Weblocker availability is critical for attracting a larger fishing fleet. Although local salmon fishing has declined, other fisheries, including especially Dungeness crab locally and salmon in Alaska, are at least as strong as they were 20 years ago. There is no reason why Blaine cannot regain its share of the commercial fishing fleet. Along with more fishing boats, we can expect to see other improvements during the coming years at the harbor, including the completion of two cleanup projects, allowing for site preparation for expansion of seafood processing and the shipyard, major repairs of work docks, bulkheads, and roads, all built in accordance with modern environmental standards, improving habitat, symbolized by the opening of Drayton Harbor for oyster production, more pleasure boats, thanks to Sundance Yachts, more marine trades jobs, more Canadian visitors, thanks to increasing harbor activity, and very likely, at some point, a stronger Canadian dollar. Do you remember the Harbor Cafe of the 1980s? Picture this, a new Harbor Cafe in downtown Blaine, or uptown Blaine, compared to the waterfront, full of local and county residents, Canadian visitors, fishing boat crews, Sundance customers, out on the deck overlooking a bustling Blaine Harbor on a nice spring afternoon. Spring lunchtime. We have seen this before in Blaine, and it can happen again. You can help rejuvenate the local maritime sector by choosing option two that would permit the building of both the two buildings we've discussed. And if I have time, just a personal note, I first went commercial fishing in 1962 on a rickety old wood seiner leaving Blaine Harbor for Alaska. And I fished my way through college. It's still possible to do that today. Several of my friends did the same thing. Today, in an average year, you can still go fishing in the summer on a purse seiner like the ones that were on all three of these screens a while ago and pay for a year of college. And you can't do that at Burger King. So the way I see it, a purse seiner in town is a potential for up to four full-time rides for Blaine students to go to college. Typically, I think with a four-person crew, you'd average a couple college students on that crew. We have some seiners in Blaine still, but there's room for a lot more. And I think the Weblocker building is a key to that, providing facilities for storage, along with the infrastructure improvements that are going to take place. I can see attracting a good part of that fleet back to Blaine. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Kyle. Now, is there anyone else in the audience? Mr. Hill, if you would be kind enough to come forward, state your, once again for the record, of your name and address, please.
Mike Hill, 8777 Goshawk Road, Blaine, Washington. Everything he just said was right on. I think we need to, as a community, we're starving to death. We got a guy that's going to invest $9 million into our town. And what I see behind that is there's a lot going on downtown right now. And I can't talk about some of it, but believe me, it's coming. And it really helps when someone's invested $9 million in our town. You know, when I call, I've been talking to the Imuses, and I've been talking to, I got other I can't say right now, but boy, what a piece of the pie that would help this whole town. You know, when someone starts investing, you get called by a hotel chain. Well, who else is there? Well, you know, and you got $9 million coming in. It isn't just the money, but this town, you know, you got to have blood going through your veins, or, you know, our sewer rates are going to get higher and this and that. I just totally believe it'll be a great facility. The Port of Bellingham's checked these guys out. They're the real deal. And we are absolutely nuts not to give them exactly what they want. Port and Sundance Yachts.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. Now, is there anyone? Yes, sir. And be kind enough to come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Billy Brown, 8261 Cowichan Road. I live in Birch Bay Village. I'm the president of the Birch Bay Chamber of Commerce. On behalf of the Birch Bay Chamber of Commerce, our board of directors would like to enthusiastically endorse the proposed Sundance Yacht Project. Our board agrees that to a great extent, commerce in Birch Bay is directly connected to the commerce and prosperity of Blaine and a number of jobs and spin-off opportunities for businesses and tourism that the facility will create is precisely the type of development we've longed hoped for. The benefit to area restaurants, hardware stores, fueling stations, contractors, and others is very exciting. Not to mention the tax revenues to help fund the services, the various agencies for all of the citizens. I'd like to congratulate both Sundance Yachts for choosing our community to locate and create significant job growth to the Blaine Plant and the Blaine Planning Commission for having the wisdom and foresight to help this project along. I've been a businessman in this community for about 30 years now. And, you know, I watch our kids grow up, and there's not a lot of opportunities for our kids here for jobs. You look at our downtown district here in Blaine, you could fire a cannon off and wouldn't hit nobody. We need projects like this. The city of Blaine just had an extensive economic development plan, which I found very interesting and I read. And these are exactly the types of things that can be that starts the fire here in Blaine. And so I really hope on a personal level that you guys support this project and allow the change in the zoning so they can build a facility that they need. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to speak to the issue? Yes, sir, if you come forward, state your name and address, please.
My name is Bob Harris. I live 8117 Seaholm, also in Birch Bay Village. I don't have any vested interest in this project. I've just been following it in the news, and I'm just amazed that a company wants to come in and invest this kind of money in our town. We should be doing backflips. I mean, I moved here 20 years ago, and for 20 years, everyone's been talking about the expansion of Blaine and what's going to happen, and nothing's really happened. I've watched White Rock grow. I've watched all the towns south of Blaine, especially around the waterfront, take off, and I think this is an amazing opportunity. I mean, I live here because I choose to live here. My business is all around the world, and this is the only place that I want to live. I could live anywhere and do my job. I love boating. I love the boating community, and that's why I moved here. And we've got this amazing opportunity, and, you know, the objections that I heard tonight seem to be fairly minor, and they seem to have been covered off, you know, in terms of parking or access to the boat launch. So, you know, just from a layman, this is the first time I've heard about this project or thought about it, there doesn't seem to be a lot of problems and the upside to it. I hadn't even thought about the tax base until Billy brought that up, and I thought, wow, I'm 100% in favor of this, and I got a lot of boating friends, and, you know, the ones that I've talked to, they're all supporting this too. So that's all I had to say.
I appreciate your comments. Thank you. Now, is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to address this issue? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion from the council to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second. Motion has been made and seconded to close the public hearing.
Harry, before you close.
Yes, sir.
Questions afterwards? After the public hearing is closed, we'll be able to ask questions.
Yes, sir.
Anyone who testified.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Yes, you may.
Okay, a motion has been made and seconded. Is there any other questions or comments regarding it? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Hearing none, the motion is carried 6-0.
Okay.
Harry, yes. I had a question I'd like to ask.
You want to wait until we get to the council action items so we can move on to the agenda? This is coming up on the motion on the agenda.
Okay.
So we've closed the public hearing. Now we're going to go into the council action items. The first action item is Ordinance 17-2895, the Comprehensive Plan Amendment Revising the Wharf District Master Plan. And the staff has concurred with the Planning Commission's recommendation, but recommends the council consider the effects of lowering the height limit from 55 to 25 feet adjacent to the west side of Mulholland Drive. While the commission intention was to maximize use from downtown, staff believes that the opportunity to attract a mixed-use development as envisioned by the Wharf District Master Plan will be significantly compromised by the reduced height limit. It is likely a development with commercial uses on the ground floor and residential uses on the upper floor or a boutique hotel would need a minimum of 4 floors to be economically viable. The property directly to the west of Mulholland Drive, fronting on the harbor, is the most suitable for this type of use in staff's opinion. The attached Ordinance 17-2895 includes the updated pages of the Wharf District Master Plan. The added language is highlighted in yellow. The depleted language is not shown due to the complexity of tracking the changes. To compare the updated pages to the original, you can visit our website. The council has several options to move forward. One, approve the application as modified by the Planning Commission. Two, approve the application as proposed by the applicant, the Port of Bellingham, or, number three, make additional modifications such as those recommended by staff and approve the modified application, or, number four, direct staff to further evaluate specific changes or modifications and report back to council at a specific date. Staff can only provide clarifying information if the council holds a second public hearing, or, number five, as a legislative action, the council may decide to hold a second public hearing after completing notification requirements, or, number six, deny the application. So that's what's ahead of us, ladies and gentlemen. Dennis, you wanted a question?
Sylvia, you mentioned that the lease that Sundance has is for 80 years. Is there any requirement in that lease that work be done, started, or something in the...
Yes, there is. If Sundance does not build a dry stack storage facility as they proposed, within 5 years, their lease is reduced to 25 years. And then they could still continue to work on it, and the Port Commission, of course, could consider extending their lease. But we don't want to have the property tied up for 80 years if they're not going to do something.
Yeah, that was my concern.
Yeah.
Actually,
we're faced with a number of different possibilities, and in the interest of getting the ball rolling, I'd like to propose that we make one tiny change to the Planning Commission's suggestion. Move from 25 to 35 feet, as Sylvia has suggested. I believe it's west of Mulholland.
That's correct, west of Mulholland.
That's a motion. I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. I have no problem with changing use. Let's put that in there, too.
You may want to modify your motion to include that.
I was trying to do so. Perhaps I can do it more formally. I would like to propose two changes if I can do that in one motion. The first change is to move from 25 feet to 35 feet west of Mulholland. The second is to change the use to, is it marine use?
Marine-related use. Marine non-industrial marine-related
use. Non-industrial marine-related use.
So I think for a point of order, you have a motion on the dais for the first one. You need to vote on that by either voting no or not, or tabling it, and then you can go to the second one. You can't have two going simultaneously. So you have to have one at a time.
I will try first for a third time. Let's say change the number from 25 to 35 feet west of Mulholland.
Second.
Question or comment. I really think 35 is not high enough. I concur with the staff's recommendation that to enable the use that we had originally would like to see there, and which may be possible once this project gets in place, to enable hotel or condominiums, we need 55 feet. Otherwise, it's just not going to be feasible. That's what we want. Why are we not making it possible for that to happen someday? If this project is successful, there may be a need for that.
I believe I heard Sylvia say that 35 would be adequate at this point.
Not for a hotel, I don't think.
No.
For the web lockers, it would.
Sylvia, would you like to address that issue? We're trying to decide, I guess, on a height requirement. You said 35
exactly.
Would be adequate.
25 feet is high enough for a web locker, but if we want commercial or a hotel, think about one store of retail on the ground floor, you probably want at least two stories, and if you want any kind of a peak roof, 45 would probably be adequate. 35, you might get three stories, but you might have to have a flat roof. So I would recommend 45, and then we could leave the option open for what somebody might want to do. Again, we did only get a 10-foot increase on the east side of Mulholland, so a 10-foot decrease would be just about fair.
But if they needed 10 more feet, we got to go through a year of permitting again.
Council, at the risk of further complicating this, if we could, I'll ask Alex to roll back to what the current height limits are for that area west of Mulholland, then you might decide to just not change the heights west of Mulholland, because I think it addresses the issue. It's higher than some of what you've been talking of. You can see here, this is the existing image in the Wharf District Master Plan. Near the number 3, the height limit is 55. That was intended to support those mixed uses, things like condominiums, hotels. And then it does go down to 25 when you get closer to the view corridor and further to the south, where it was more of an obstruction. So when I say leave the heights as they are, as an would be an option to consider, is I only mean on the west side of Mulholland, because, of course, on the east side is the height limit is recommended to increase. So there are a few things on the table, but that is what it says today.
Sam, could you repeat the motion we have on the table for me, please?
The motion was to increase it from 25 feet to 35 feet west of Mulholland.
Okay. Do we want to change that, Paul?
The question is, do we want to approve that? So there's been a motion and a second.
Yes.
I
would have a comment before we come to the vote. I think it should be higher.
I think we would vote this down, and then I'll make a new motion.
That would be my recommendation. Vote. Okay. If you don't want it, vote it down, then make a new motion.
Okay, the motion is to recommend 35 feet on the west side. Is that correct, Sylvia?
West, okay. Yes.
So, any other further comments?
Okay.
We're sitting here, and we can't hear.
Okay. So, we have a motion on the table to increase the height on the west side of Mulholland Drive to 35 feet. There have been comments about, Bonnie has commented that if we were to build a hotel, she would like 55 feet. I'm suggesting as a compromise, we might suggest 45 feet. So the question is, if there's no further comments, we would like to have a vote on the motion to increase the height to 35 feet on the west side. Okay, all in favor of increasing the height to 35 on the west side, say aye. Any opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Okay, the motion is defeated 1-5, if that's correct. Okay? I would like to put a new motion on the table that we increase the height on the west side of Mulholland Drive to 45 feet.
Second.
Okay, the motion has been made and seconded. Are there now further questions or comments regarding that motion?
Question about it.
Dennis?
Now, you're talking about any place where there's 25 feet, you're going to increase it to 35, is that right?
45.
Or 45.
45.
Yes, sir. Well, there's an area east of that has the 25-foot height.
No, it's on the west side of the road.
You're talking only on the west side of Mulholland?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Now, this proposal then assumes that everything east of Mulholland in that corner will be 55 feet, and that's clear out to the east edge of the property. And that's somewhat different than what was planned. I mean, we got a whole series of numbers in here that are...
Alex, can you maybe clarify this for us? Could you maybe show us what was originally the height limits and what the changes are? Is there a way of showing the two items side by side?
I can do the best I can here. So today there's 55 feet allowed currently today on this north side.
Okay, now what is the Planning Commission recommendation for those two areas?
So these two areas here would both be reduced from 55 down to 25 feet under the Planning Commission's recommendation.
Okay.
And then there's this area currently down here which is really not proposed or affected by the Planning Commission's recommendation, which is currently 25 feet. And that area is just basically outside of the Planning Commission's recommendation at this time.
Our motion just going to reflect those two areas.
It sounds like your motion to me would be to change the height limit, to lower it from 55 to 45 feet here, and then increase it by 20 feet in this area, which is more in the view corridor, I would just point out a little bit.
Okay, I'm...
25 feet across the street, actually, why would
we do that? Mr. Jones pointed out a good point. This actually is in planning area 3, too, this area all the way down here where this shopping area is, and these couple other buildings over here is just 35-foot height limit. This is in planning area 3 as well, so I think we have to be real specific about which area we're talking about. If you can see on this map, there's actually these little letters and numbers right here. This area is 3A. This area right here with 55 feet is 3B, and then down here, this area is 3C. You could talk about those areas if you want to be more specific.
But Harry, I would like to withdraw the motion.
I agree.
Okay, the seconder agrees. So the motion, have we done that right?
Yes.
We've withdrawn the motion. Okay, I would like to make a new motion that we increase the height or decrease the height in 3A and 3B to 45 feet.
Second.
The problem, Harry, I have with this is that we're talking about breaking these areas up.
That's different than what the Planning Commission looked at.
And you look at the Planning Commission's 25-foot heights, all of a sudden that one section becomes a 55-foot height as compared to the...
It's just two.
Yeah, but you've taken the map that the Planning Commission was using, and somehow it's become modified into these 3A's, 3B's, 3C's, etc.
But that's what exists now.
No, what exists now is...
Well, this is the existing
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. This is what exists now, and this was the starting point for the Planning Commission.
Yeah.
These were labeled as 3A, 3B on the originals?
Yes.
Okay, are there any further comments or questions regarding the motion? If not, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay.
Nay.
Okay, if I've got it correct, the motion is carried 5-1. And therefore, the new height heights approved for 3A and 3B is 45 feet, correct? Okay.
Now we need the motion for the...
The remainder. You need a motion on the remainder of the proposal. Right, don't you?
Sorry?
Do they need the vote on the remainder of the zoning change?
There would be, so all you've done is adjust the Planning Commission recommendation, not approved anything in essence. So you would, I think, at this point, because there was motion this way before, consider the use at this time or not consider the use, but then ultimately you'll want to approve the Planning Commission recommendation as amended.
Okay, can I have a question first? On 3A and 3B and 3C, what are they currently now? Allowed. What is the use?
What uses are currently permitted?
Yes.
The Mariner Village uses are kind of a wide range of uses, but it includes things like retail, hotels, restaurants, multifamily residential on the upper floors. There are two grandfathered or legal non-conforming uses, which are the web lockers that are on the ground, and then there's also a storage yard. So there are none of those uses in those areas today.
But that's the point, is we need to make it so we can build a new web locker if we need it.
Yeah, so we want to have a non-marine related...
Non-industrial marine related.
Non-industrial for what, 3A and B and C, or just 3A? And
that depends on what you want to do.
Okay.
What's the proposal from the...
What does the Planning Commission propose?
The Planning Commission proposal is to allow non-industrial marine-related uses east of Mulholland Drive and not change the uses west of Mulholland Drive, to continue to support the Mariner Village development concept.
And that's what I would support.
The port has requested allowing marine-related, non-industrial marine-related uses, and they envision a fairly broad spectrum of uses, I think, other than industry, things like fish processing, in that whole area that we're looking at on both sides.
3A, B, C,
and then the other east side as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready to make a motion to support the Planning Commission's concept of the original concept of the Mariner-related uses. In that particular area, 3A and B and C. And we've already made the change on the heights. So.
Second.
So is that a change?
That's not a change from the Planning Commission.
That would be, right, so if you wanted, you could make a motion at this point to approve the Planning Commission recommendation as amended by the council action that just happened, which is just related to height.
Right.
I think that's what, that would be one step less.
That would be what I would propose.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Anya, did you want marine-related uses on both east and west side?
Only east at this time.
Just clarify.
Yeah. Okay, there's a motion on the table to leave.
Mr. Hawkins has to.
I want to withdraw my second.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's withdrawing a second?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a motion on the table, but it needs a second. What is the motion? The motion is to
accept the Planning Commission's recommendation
zoning.
There's no change in the zoning, is that correct?
May I, Ms. Onion, restate that?
Yes.
The motion that was made was to approve the Planning Commission recommendation related to uses and heights, with the adjustment of increasing the height to 45 feet in areas 3A and 3B.
Okay, that motion's on the table, right?
Well, it needs a second.
I'm looking for a seconder.
A second.
Okay, hearing none, that motion dies. Okay, I'll make a new motion that on both the east and west side of Mulholland, we make it into, help me now.
Non-industrial marine uses.
Second.
Okay, that's been made and seconded. Are there further questions or comments regarding that part of the motion?
I have a clarifying question.
Yes, sir.
Michael, do they need to include in that motion the adjusted heights?
No, because that was already passed.
Okay, just clarify.
Okay. So.
I have a question about
okay,
that.
Okay, go ahead, Dennis.
Michael, would that then allow for construction of a web locker and where?
That would allow for the construction of a web locker anywhere in Planning Area 3.
Not the west side at the 35-foot height. Hopefully it could be.
So a web locker is only 25 feet tall, and you could probably build one 12 feet tall if you really wanted to. So the height is probably not relevant to the web locker discussion. And the motion that Mr. Robinson made was to allow non-industrial marine-related uses on the east and west side of Mulholland Drive. And the only area we're talking about is Planning Area 3. Planning Area 3 is the whole thing that you can see up there. It goes over by the Northern Light Building in that area. And so you could build a web locker then, if this were to pass, in anywhere in Planning Area 3.
This does not preclude commercial, though.
No, it doesn't preclude other uses. It doesn't. It adds the non-industrial marine-related uses to the list of already available uses.
Further questions or comments? If not, I'll call for the vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing none, that motion is carried 6-0.
Okay, so then, Mr. Mayor, what I would ask, because what you've done is amended the Planning Commission recommendation a couple times, but
yes,
not
sir.
Actually passed some of the other pieces in it, like allowing the higher, the greater height limit on the east side. So if you could entertain a motion to...
To entertain the Planning Commission...
Motion as amended.
As amended.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to propose that we... right wording here. I'm going to say that we approve the application as modified by the Planning Commission, as modified by the Council this evening.
Second.
Is that okay?
That will work.
Okay. That motion has been made and seconded. Are there further questions or comments concerning it? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Hearing none, that motion is now carried 6-0. I believe we've dealt with Ordinance 1728-95.
You want to take five?
Yeah, I think I would.
Thank you, Sylvia.
Well, you got it.